the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Wow.
Y'all enjoying this beautiful weather we having?
Yeah, I think so.
Sure is hot enough, though.
It is hot. My little flowers yesterday were looking
I had to get out there and water them.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yep.
Don't neglect those at this time.
That's right.
Maybe we ought to pray for them when we pray for everyone.
There you go. I think that's a good idea. Today is the feast of Blessed Franz Jägerstätter. So we'll start this morning in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, from whom all good things come, grant that we who call on you in our need may at your prompting discern what is right, and by your guidance do it. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Franz Jägerstätter, pray for us.
Pray for us. Great. We're going to have a wonderful lineup for you today, starting off with Josie Duke. She is a theologian and teacher over at St. George School in Baton Rouge, and she's going to give us her gospel reflection. That'll be in just a few moments. Rachel Balducci joins us, and she's going to talk about her book called No Such Thing as Ordinary, Unlocking Your Extraordinary Life Through Everyday Encounters with Jesus. This is going to be a great interview with Rachel. Michael Accaldo joins us, president and CEO of St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge, and he's going to give us their monthly update. They're always in need of some things, some volunteers, and we're going to take a look and see how he is doing, especially as we enter into hurricane season. We're into hurricane season. You know they're always preparing for that, especially with the homeless and those who really need the services over at St. Vincent de Paul at this time of the year. And Dr. Stanley Andres joins us. He's going to talk about his event at Loyola University New Orleans called Prison Cells to PhD. This is going to be a great interview, and I highly recommend staying tuned to learn about his story, about, you know, the power of God's love and mercy and his journey through life. So it's going to be a great one, Damian. I'm looking forward to all of them.
Yeah. And y'all hopefully have been looking forward to the weather, because it was getting wet quite often, but now we're going to have a dry out opportunity. And so get out there and get after it today if you want. But it's going to be hot. High is going to be 93. Low is going to be 73. Wow. So it's not even going to cool down to room temperature. Winds are going to be out of the south at about 5 to 10. So a nice humid breeze if you want one. Tomorrow, pretty much the same thing, only it's going to be hotter. I'll leave it at that. Already, it is currently 85 degrees in Gulfport. In Baton Rouge, it's 75. Elsewhere, New Orleans, 81. The North Shore, right across the lake, it's 77. And in home at Thibodeau, 76 degrees. So there you have it. I got outside yesterday and literally was
yesterday.
Working in the yard.
Yeah.
You know, waited till it cooled down in the afternoon.
Yeah. Did it?
No, I had to go get one of them, what do you call it, do-rags or whatever. I'm a sweating profusely.
You need one of those little cooling rags.
No, not even. No, well.
Yeah, I need that.
Jump right
Wear
in the pool
sunscreen.
Is the key.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, just 15 minutes and it's like, all right.
Done, right?
That's
Gotta
it.
Be done.
So be careful out there. Hydrate a lot is my, my suggestion.
Grab some True Blue.
Yeah. So gospel reflection coming your way 5 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning of Wake Up. Stay with us.
A good Tuesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Joining us this morning is Josie Duke, theologian and teacher at St. George Catholic School in Baton Rouge. Good morning, Josie.
Good morning, Alicia. How are you?
Wonderful. I love this gospel. Don't hide it under a bushel basket, Josie.
Yes. Well, as children, we're taught that cute little song, right? This little light of mine.
Yes.
And even sometimes as adults, we'll just hum along the tune. You know, it's beautiful. So this comes from Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. And if we take a look at just a few verses before this,
yes,
what Jesus gives us is the Beatitudes.
Mm.
So he's just finished giving us those beautiful Beatitudes, which really are the Ten Commandments put into a positive light. You shall do this. If you want to go to heaven, you will do this, you will do this, you will do this, right?
Right.
So now Jesus says, okay, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? We've all tasted rice without salt, much to our chagrin. We've all tasted pasta without salt, and we just want to choke. We're like, oh, this is so gross. Right? It's distorted, because we are supposed to season the lives of our brothers and sisters with the gospel, right?
Yes,
we're not
yes.
supposed to take the light that we've been given by virtue of our baptism and say, okay, it's all about Jesus and me. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Jesus and us, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Jesus says something very interesting here. Just so your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. He isn't just telling you to have faith. It's not enough. People have to see your good deeds. It's what we Catholics call the works of mercy.
Yes.
So just as Elijah, in the first reading for today, just as Elijah was told to go to Gentile territory, mm-hmm. to go preach to the people who will listen, because apparently Israel was not, we are called to go out and do the same. We're called to be the light of the world and salt of the earth. And you can't hide light, at least not for very long.
Right. Yes.
Right? If you light a candle in this and you go outside, you'll still be able to see it. You might have to look a little harder, but it's still there. But we don't live in a world of light. We live in a world of darkness.
Yes.
Because of sin. So if you've ever turned on a flashlight or lit a candle in the darkness, doesn't it just cast its light all over the room?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if it's only a singular light in a very large room, all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, now I can see. Well, that's our job.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to help people see. But this is not news to us, right? Ever since the beginning, the evil one has been waging war against us. So we don't shine through our words only. We also shine through our actions. Because mm-hmm. if faith is all that God required, he would have said that.
Right.
But if we go to the letter of St. James, he tells us, show me your faith, and I will show my faith through my works. Right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense to tell somebody who's homeless, have faith. You will find shelter. Well, that's not going to work.
Yeah, we hear all the time, huh, Josie? I'll pray for you.
I'll pray for you.
Yeah, which is good. Which is good, but mm-hmm. where's the action?
Mm-hmm. Correct. It's
exactly.
very good that we pray for everyone, but we need to do more than just pray,
mm-hmm.
you know? And maybe we're not called to minister to the homeless, but what about our neighbor next door who's been sick?
Mm-hmm.
What about the lady mm-hmm. across the street who struggles to go get her trash can off the curb? What about the child who's there's something going on and you can't put your finger on it, but you're like, oh, well, I don't know what's going on. They're just at that age. No, ask.
Right.
Be that light for people.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be Christ to the world and help him usher in his kingdom. Because at the beginning of Matthew, he gives us the Beatitudes. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew 28, what does he tell us? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we do that? Well, do you know how to smile? Do you know how to say hello? Because when people hear the word evangelize, they totally freak out. Like, oh, I can't do that.
Right.
You can do that. A smile, a simple hello, a handshake, a nod, a friendly word to the cashier who's clearly having a bad day because the person just two people in line ahead of you gave her what for over mm-hmm. something that was completely mm-hmm. outside of her control. We've seen this.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So we can't hide our faith because we're afraid of what people might say or we're afraid of what people might do. We've done that long enough. Mm-hmm. And personally, I believe that that's part of the reason we're in the mess that we're in. Because for a very, very long time, people just didn't want to say anything. They didn't want to get involved. It's not my issue. There's nothing I can do. The issue's bigger than me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
This is what happens. Okay? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean we have to go stand on a street corner and you know, hold up the Bible and shout at passersby. There are people who do that, and right. if that's what they're called to do, okay. I personally don't find it very effective, but okay.
Right.
To each his own. But we are all called to speak. We are all called to speak up when it's necessary, mm-hmm. especially when a brother or a sister in faith is headed in the wrong direction. Maybe they misunderstand church teaching about something.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. We have to be that light for them in a way that nobody else can be. This right. is one of the things I try to teach my mm-hmm. students. Is like you might be the only one in the room who knows the truth,
mm-hmm.
and you have got to be the one to speak up because somebody's salvation may be on the line.
No.
Right?
Yes.
And which sounds dramatic, but it may not be.
It could be a very close family member.
Oh, yes. Isn't that always the way?
Yeah.
And how do our family members sometimes react to us? Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the thing, because they're more of the world than they are of God or heaven.
Sometimes, yes. And then they look at you like, who are you to tell me how to live my life?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're just my big sister. You're just my little sister, my little brother, whatever it is. It's like, well, yeah, that may be, but I'm trying to show you the truth about something in your life. And I love you.
Keep that light shining. Thank you so much, Josie Duke. It's always great to visit with you. Up next, author Rachel Balducci joins us. It's 15 minutes after the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 7th. Today we celebrate Blessed Franz Jägerstätter. As a young man in St. Radegund, Austria, Franz was a natural leader who loved to ride his motorcycle. He'd been adopted as a boy by the Jägerstätter family following his father's death in World War I. After a minor run-in with the local authorities and a stint working in the mines, Franz became a farmer, got married, and resolved to live his faith with a quiet but intense conviction. In 1938, Austria was annexed into Germany, and Franz was drafted into the Austrian army. Though personally opposed to Germany's aggression, Franz's pastor, other priests, and even the Bishop of Linz urged him not to refuse to serve. After several deferments, Franz was called into active duty in the winter of 1943. When he refused to take the oath of loyalty to the Führer, Franz was imprisoned in Linz. 3 months later, he was transferred to a Berlin prison. On August 9, 1943, Franz was beheaded and immediately cremated. After the war in 1946, Franz's ashes were reburied in St. Radegund, where a memorial had been erected to the 60 village men who died during their military service. Franz Jägerstätter was beatified in 2007. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Good morning. It's 18 minutes after the hour on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Gabby Smith and Damian Collado. We're so happy you're with us on this Tuesday morning. We're joined this morning by Rachel Balducci. Rachel is the co-host of Catholic TV's The Gist. She's a journalism professor at Augusta University and is a Catholic writer and speaker. And she has a new book she wants to share with us. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning.
I have to tell you, so No Such Thing as Ordinary, Unlocking Your Extraordinary Life Through Everyday Encounters with Jesus. It is a hard book to put down.
Oh, thanks. I'm so glad.
It's a wonderful book. I love the cover. If you're watching our video stream, it's a lady upside down on the front. I love it. Rachel, tell us why this book and why now?
So the book is basically an antidote in my life to that feeling that I was experiencing deeply, and I just had this feeling other women and people and, you know, men as well, have this feeling sometimes that life is passing us by. And I was going through the season where I had had a lot of hard years as a stay-at-home mama, loving it, but feeling sometimes like, you know, everybody else is off doing grand things and here I am doing this. And then even as my kids started to get older, there was this feeling, you know, and I started to have more opportunities, but there was a deep sort of nagging feeling that was not getting filled by the things that the world was telling me. And I've always been a practicing Catholic, you know, have always felt this sense of like a good relationship with Jesus. I live in the South, so I kind of have that, you know, I can speak that way as well, but that importance of that personal connection with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was finding though that what the world was telling me was going to make me happy, like having that next adventure, pursuing that next big goal, was not filling whatever this thing was in me. And as I started to really pursue it, you know, kind of realizing that what St. Augustine says, you know, our soul is going to be restless until it rests with the Lord, and that we each were created with this God-sized hole that only God can fill. And so that's really what the book dives into, is just, I feel like there are voices out there that especially tell women that restlessness you feel, if you pursue your dreams, if you go after the thing that, you know, you have always wanted to do, that's going to be fixed. And I'm all about following your dreams. I love using the gifts God's given me. I think it's so awesome. But recognizing for me that that's not the solution to this feeling that each one of us has.
Right. So your book draws from Jesus's conversation with the woman at the well.
Yeah, and I love, you know, this idea of a starting point, because the woman at the well, it's John 4, and now I feel like she's a personal friend, because I feel like I spent so much time thinking about this and praying about it when I was writing this book. But, you know, there she is, this broken and battered woman who comes to the well in the middle of the day, and there is Jesus waiting for her, and he offers her something that is so much deeper and more, you know, fulfilling and quenching than the actual water that she's there to get. And the thing that I love about this story is that Jesus was there waiting for her in the middle of her daily duties. It wasn't like he was off on this mountaintop and then she got to go on this cruise and there he was. You know, it was like he was there waiting for her as she did her regular stuff. And that's, yes, you know, the offer that he gives to each one of us, which is really, you know, it really makes regular life extraordinary, because Jesus wants to be a part of it and make it something glorious for him. Even though laundry doesn't seem that glorious, you know, that we can find God in the midst of all these things.
Yes, what a wonderful reminder. I love that you say, if following our dreams is how we plan to fill the God-sized hole in our hearts, we will be thirsty again.
Yeah, I mean, and it is kind of the heart of, I think, the sort of the birth of this book, and the idea of it is recognizing the difference. And we really have to know ourselves, I think. And a big part of this journey for me was getting into Ignatian spirituality, but really just this idea of paying attention to, you know, how I was feeling throughout the day. And not like diving so far into your feelings that, you know, you're ruled by them, but paying attention to the things that bring you peace and the things that make you feel stirred up and restless. And when we start to kind of identify, you know, okay, why am I going after this? Is it really filling this thirst that I have? Mm-hmm. You know, we start to connect some dots that I think, you know, God has placed in us to help us find him in our life journey.
Talk about, Rachel, you talk about or encouraging people to stop listening and stop being distracted by worldly voices.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of getting back to, you know, knowing the world is beautiful. God made this world. There's so much beauty in it. And so this really isn't a message like, be afraid of everything out there, you know, hunker down. It's like, there's a lot of beauty out there, but we have to see it for what it is. And I think I kind of think of this as, you know, I teach journalism at the local university, and I'm on social media. I love Instagram. I think it's so much fun. But if I'm looking for my identity in how many likes I get, or if I'm looking for my identity in what other people are saying about, you know, anything, what success looks like, what happiness looks like, what romance looks like, it's going to leave me thirsty and empty. And that's where we really have to know where we seek truth and where we seek our treasure.
Yes. So, Rachel, let our listeners know who this book is really written for.
So, you know, I kind of just pour myself out into my books. I have a couple of other books that I have written in coming out of difficult times. And so for me, I wrote this book as a woman whose kids are getting older. I just turned 50 on Sunday.
Happy
I've got
birthday.
Four boys in college. Thank you. Four boys in college and then two middle schoolers. And, you know, I was writing this book, but it's really for anybody who I think is just living their life and knowing that there's a deeper satisfaction in it, you know, a deeper thirst that they're seeking and to be filled, a deeper satisfaction that they want, a thirst that they want to be filled. And so I love that the book I just am so proud that pink is just like the prettiest pink, you know,
yes.
I just love the cover of the book. But I also honestly think it's a message like men could hear as well, because, you know, we're just kind of told, and I'm watching this with my older boys as they, you know, pursue college and they're going after the things that are of interest to them. And I love seeing them use the gifts that God has given them, that, you know, as we move through life and we do these things, there is still going to be something that is seeking to be filled, you know, and that it's not going to come just from a really good day at work or, you know, a really excellent vacation. And again, those are good things, but those are not the thing that's going to really, you know, quench that thirst.
Yes. Rachel, your book starts out with you're thinking that you're on one path and you pray hard for and so constant for what you are thinking God's plan is. And then it shifts in a different way. And as you mentioned, your mother to six beautiful children. But you talk about in your book about where you are now in life is where God has placed you and where he intends for you to be. So we have a couple minutes left. Talk about that.
I just, you know, for me, I have found the most satisfaction and the most deep joy just kind of knowing that where I am is where God would have me to be. And that doesn't, you know, I have some friends who are going through some hard stuff. That doesn't mean that wherever we're at in life when it's hard is, you know, God has us there. He's going to keep us there. He enjoys watching us suffer. That is not what it is at all. But the thing that we're going through is what God is using to draw us closer to him. And in some seasons that feels really good. And in some seasons we are doing some really hard work. And at the very front end of this book, when the idea started kind of percolating, I was in the hardest season of my life, going through hard stuff with some, you know, just, you.
Oh, I think we just.
And what I recognized years later, and God really showed this to me. You know, I was like, Lord, that season was so painful. And I feel like he just showed me that that's when you started seeking something that was really going to fulfill you. Like all the things you thought that would bring you real happiness were not there.
Yes.
And, you know, God showed me he was there waiting at the well for me. And that's the offer he makes for every one of us. And it makes life so extraordinary. Like God, Jesus wants to fill that deep need that each one of us has in our life.
Yes, beautiful. Rachel Balducci, can you tell our listeners where they can find a copy of your new book, No Such Thing as Ordinary, Unlocking Your Extraordinary Life Through Everyday Encounters with Jesus?
Yes, it's on the Ave Maria website, and it's also on Amazon. And you can find me at rachelbalducci.com and on Instagram, Rachel Balducci.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today, Rachel. Pick up a copy of this book, No Such Thing as Ordinary by Rachel Balducci. Check out AveMariaPress.com and RachelBalducci.com. Thanks for joining us, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Y'all, I couldn't put the book down. I'm just
this
telling
is a great
you.
Book.
It's a wonderful book.
If you feel stuck, if you want to know what you have next on your journey, then God can guide you.
Yes.
You know, especially I think for women in their 20s, maybe going off to college, starting their careers, you know, even men too, a lot of stay-at-home dads
right.
these days. I think this is a great book for
anyone. I think
anyone.
It's important for those of us who are trying to make sure we're in the right spot. This is a great book for you.
Yeah.
So check it out. But stick around because Michael Accaldo, the president and CEO of St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge, joins us after the break to give us his monthly update. It's half past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Monday came and went without a Supreme Court ruling on the Dobbs v. Jackson abortion case. The case anticipated to be the end of Roe v. Wade could be announced next Monday, yet some observers expect the announcement in late June. Much of the conjecture about Justice Roberts or other justices' positions is essentially political gossip. A poll typically rendering abortion-friendly results is the latest to show Americans growing increasingly pro-life. The Harvard-Harris poll shows a plurality of voters, 43% to be exact, think abortion should only be permitted in cases of rape or incest. Another 23% would allow abortions up until 15 weeks. That 15-week limit is what is at issue in Mississippi's Dobbs v. Jackson case before the Supreme Court. This is Life News Radio. A culture of life has a rarely mentioned but very formidable enemy. Pornography is material that deceives its consumers into thinking that they possess beauty, while the reality is they are possessed by a lie. The first step may be to talk openly with your pastor or confessor, reject the lie, and recognize that a culture of life relies upon you. Oklahoma abortion businesses are going silent as that state's civil suit abortion ban takes hold. Pro-life advocates are working with both pregnant women and with abortion workers leaving that industry. And Portland, Oregon Archbishop Alexander Sample is using the current flap over abortion supporters denied communion in Catholic Mass as a teaching moment. He says the Eucharist is the true body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, and the holiest of everything that is holy. And to receive communion while underestimating its grave significance, it's spiritually dangerous. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
25 before the top of the hour. Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, June 7th. Thanks for being with us on Wake Up. Damian Collado, along with Gabby Smith, Alicia Quibido, and our guest right now, Michael Accaldo, who is president and CEO of St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge. He's with us for a monthly update. Good morning, Michael, and what's going on, brother?
Good morning. How is everybody doing?
Doing great.
Fabulous. You know, summertime is, it's not quite summer yet on the calendar, but it sure feels like it, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. I was going to say it's here whether we want it to be or not.
And, you know, extreme in temperatures always increases need in the community. And so certainly as those who are maybe a little bit our neighbors that have lower incomes, as they put up the air conditioner or they have to turn it down a little bit more, those utility bills are going up. And so certainly that creates more need, unfortunately, especially with the prices of gas and basic necessities. Mm-hmm. Every time you turn around, it seems like prices are going up. And, mm-hmm. you know, the importance of putting our faith into action is so very, very important. And, you know, St. Vincent de Paul, whether it's in Baton Rouge or anywhere in the listening audience, all the way in Mississippi or somewhere here in Louisiana, you know, there are volunteer opportunities that people can really put their faith into action. At St. Vincent de Paul, we've got a bunch. You know, for instance, our dining room during the pandemic, we were doing those to-go meals.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't need as many volunteers at our St. Vincent de Paul dining room as we did when we were doing the regular sit-down meal. We're doing the sit-down meal now. And so we encourage everyone to go to our website at svdpbr.org, go to our volunteer opportunities button there, and you can click down, just go all the way down to the bottom and click on. There's so many volunteer opportunities at our dining room, whether it's helping us make brown bag suppers to go, which we give to our guests when they come and have a hot meal with us sitting down, or getting behind the serving line. You know, just the other day I was visiting with a couple of our volunteers, and one of the groups that was scheduled to come in, something came up and they weren't able to come in, and we only had two volunteers. We like to have seven volunteers behind the serving line. So we encourage everyone to sign up and come be a part of a really, really special mission there at the St. Vincent de Paul Dining Room, which will celebrate 40 years of service in July of next month. So, isn't that fabulous? 40 years of serving meals and millions of meals served. We're not like McDonald's with the billions, but we're in the billions.
Well, and you know, you're right, Michael. Not only do you need volunteers to actually help share the meals or prepare the meals while the people are there, there's a lot of preparation that goes in prior to that. And not only for the lunch, but also for the dinner, huh?
Oh, no doubt about it. And, I think that, volunteers can make such a big impact, you know. And right now we'll probably hit between 225,000 and 250,000 meals this year. I think the numbers are getting back up, and it's due to what we just talked about a second ago about the high prices of everything.
Yeah.
And that's where volunteers can come in and really make a difference. And, I had someone very close to me, a first cousin, bring her son with her this past week, and he didn't actually have service hours, although it's an opportunity to get those service hours, but just wanted him to experience what it meant about putting his faith into action. So I think that as people are off, if you've got service hours you want to fulfill, or you just want to make that connection with making a difference, that we've got plenty of opportunities there, as well as our Bishop Hodge Shelter Program. If you want to prepare a meal off-site and bring it to our guests that are in our shelter facility, we encourage you to do that also. We call that our Manna Givers program. And on our volunteer website, there are a lot of opportunities to do that. And what's really neat is the opportunity to connect with our neighbors in need.
That's right.
You know, then do that reflection, and that provides the opportunity to grow spiritually, which is so very important as we all try to grow in our spiritual lives. And we keep talking about the chapel, and so we continue to make progress on that. We're hoping and we're praying that sometime either this summer or by the start of fall, we'll be able to break ground on that, so that when our volunteers come in, there'll be a chapel where they can reflect and pray before the service and after the service, and that our neighbors in need that we're serving have an opportunity to have faith space and really be able to reflect on, like we all need to reflect on, how God can turn our lives around, and He's always there for us.
Right. And quite often people have the impression that St. Vincent de Paul primarily focuses on the homeless, but it's the needy folks in the community. And you were touching on that at the beginning of our conversation, with utility bills going up, price of food going up, reaching out to those in the poor or low-income communities is vital for St. Vincent de Paul. You guys play a major role in that.
No doubt about it. I mean, we do so many things that people don't even realize we do. And right now, y'all were talking to that wonderful, I think it was Mrs. Duke earlier on the program.
Josie,
Josie, yeah, about at St. George. We have a wonderful St. George, St. Vincent de Paul ministry, and there are St. Vincent de Paul ministries throughout the Diocese of Baton Rouge reaching out and making a difference, and we're trying to establish more. So if you're in a parish that doesn't have a St. Vincent de Paul ministry, give us a call. Give me a call. We would love to. We're working with several pastors right now to establish those ministries that go out and make home visits. And when they make those home visits, they see children sleeping on the floor, utility bills that have to be paid. They work to really make a difference, like we're doing with our Uniforms for Kids effort, which is underway right now. We're encouraging everyone to donate gently used uniforms to us, and they can do that at any St. Vincent de Paul location or Our Lady of Lake Children's Health. You can donate at any location of Our Lady of Lake Children's Health, and we'll pick up those used uniforms and we'll get them in the hands of children in need for the upcoming school year. And so we just want to encourage everyone to get behind that effort, like we do with all the things that we do as a church. We can make a difference. And when we do, as I said earlier, it gives us an opportunity to grow spiritually, but it also allows us to become a visible sign of Christ.
Yep.
And
we become that light.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And that's what y'all do on the radio every morning. You're that light, and you give us the opportunity to come share those things. And there are so many things that happen that are so many good people in our faith that are doing work, working side by side with others in our community to make an impact. And that's what Jesus calls us to do.
Michael, if they want to learn more or sign up, as you were asking for, on that volunteers calendar to help out, where do they go?
SVDPBR.org, St. Vincent de Paul, Baton Rouge.org. We'd love to have your support. It just will make a big difference in the lives of those in need. Thank y'all so much. God bless.
God bless you, brother. You. Keep up the good work. Mm-hmm. Michael Acaldo, President and CEO of St. Vincent de Paul here in Baton Rouge. Don't go away. We have more coming your way here on Waypoint.
It's 48 past the hour on the Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Our next guest is Dr. Stanley Andres, and he's going to talk about a talk that he's going to be giving on Wednesday, June 8th from 5 to 6 p.m. from Prison Cells to PhD. So we're actually going to be speaking to him shortly, but as we do, you can go to loino.edu. They have plenty of talks that they're giving this summer as well into the fall that you can attend in person or virtually. But I wanted to give some time also as we gear up. We're only three weeks away from our summer drive time. It's happening on June 28th through June 30th. So save those dates. We have great guests every hour, priests, deacons, lay people who are going to be joining us. It's 3 days of on-air fundraising. I did want to put those dates out there as we continue to approach those dates. So it's going to be a blast. And as we get closer, we will continue to talk about the guest lineup as well. So I think, you guys, it's something we look forward to all the time. So,
yes, that's
Dr. Great. Stanley joins us now from Prison Cells to PhD. It's never too late to do good. Good morning, Dr. Stanley.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. Looking forward to this interview. Actually, tell us your story from Prison Cells to PhD. It's never too late to do good.
So thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on the show this morning. I am a formerly incarcerated person with three felony convictions who was sentenced to 10 years in prison as a prior and persistent career criminal. I was told by a prosecuting attorney at that time that I had no hope for changing the decisions that I had been making up until that point in my early 20s. The prosecutor was actually pushing for 20 years to life in prison, and I got sentenced to 10. Fast forward some time, I'm now Dr. Stan Andres, endocrinologist, scientist, and professor at Howard University College of Medicine. Some would consider to be the mecca of HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities. You know, awesome. Number one producer of black and brown PhDs and MDs. I'm also a former faculty at Johns Hopkins Medicine, and also in visiting faculty at Georgetown University, as well as Imperial College London in the UK. So I didn't quite live up to those expectations that the prosecutor kind of placed on me and prophesied in those early days of my life. But unfortunately, I'm from the Ferguson, Missouri area, a little bit more on my background. I started selling drugs before I was a teenager, was arrested for the first time at 14 years old, moved into the juvenile system, and continued to make poor decisions and continued to dive deeper into kind of selling drugs, to the point that I was, getting involved with selling drugs and wow. from state to state and multiple states, and to the point that I was sitting in that courtroom in my early 20s looking at 20 years to life in prison. And wow. Much of the earlier parts of my involvement in the system, we know a lot about Ferguson now through the killing of Mike Brown and the subsequent investigation by the Justice Department that found that there was this excessive policing and over policing taking place. So that was kind of my childhood. I can remember as early as 8 years old running from the police, and just knowing that the police had this heavy presence in my neighborhood. And for the most part, just thinking that, I don't really like the police, but they're here because this area has a lot of criminals, is what I was thinking, And so clearly, the people in this area aren't really, are bad people. That's why there's so much police here. That's why they're around so much. So there was this implanting in my head that the neighborhood I lived in and the people around me were, bad people. That's why there's so much police around all the time. There needs to be.
Wow.
And, then I move into middle school and high school, and I found myself getting into, already getting into trouble. And in school, the teachers essentially saw me as having conduct issues. I was constantly in detention and suspension. And so even in school, before I was actually moved into the legal system and being arrested in that first conviction, my teachers already saw me as having, as being a criminal and as being a bad person. So tie in, the society and community thinks people from where I'm from are bad people and criminals, and my school and teachers and, the authorities, the adults in my life think that I individually am a bad person and criminal. And that matriculated into me feeling that way and just, making the decisions. And I mentioned those things because, that is the school to prison pipeline. I didn't know that then, but I know that now, that this is what they call the school to prison pipeline. But not to say that made me make the decisions. I made the decisions myself. And but those certainly were playing in the background as I was making those poor decisions and eventually ended up landing in prison.
Dr. Stanley, we have a minute left. Briefly tell us what sparked that change to say, I still have time to change. I can make something different in my life.
Yeah, so while I was in prison, it was really this three-pronged thing. So one was faith, and my you know, faith played a big role. But the two other big things was I really thought that I was just going to be stuck in this revolving door of incarceration, but this mentor stepped into my life that saw a different path, and that sparked this change. That tied with my father ended up losing his battle with type 2 diabetes, and that emotional difficulty of going through that really sparked in me wanting to learn more about diabetes, and that tied with this mentor who started giving me scientific articles. You know, I read my first scientific article on diabetes while I was locked in a cage.
Dr. Stanley, I apologize. We're going to have to cut you short here because the computer is going to kick us out and go straight to break. You can go and listen to his talk on Wednesday, June 8th from 5 to 6 p.m. at the Audubon Room at Loyola University in New Orleans. First 50 participants receive a free signed copy of the book. So loyno.edu. We're going to have you back on again on our morning show. I think we just barely scratched the surface. Thank you so much, Dr. Stanley, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Wow, you guys.
Amazing story.
This is not going to be the last time you hear from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely need to do a two-parter with him.
Yes.
So we'll wrap up. We've been talking about light and darkness, so that is what our prayer will focus on this morning. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for always being a light in the dark places and the world, as well as the dark places in our lives. Our hope is in God, for you are the light of the world, and you call us to be light for others. May your light and love blaze in our hearts and throughout the world. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.